Draket schools, by the way, are closed. And let's find out why, because we actually have the Draket School Superintendent Steve Stone joining us in studios this morning. Good morning, Superintendent Stone. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. When did you make the decision to close the schools this morning?
Started about 4:30 and made the final call about 5:15.
Was this one of the tougher ones as you looked around? Because I think most of the communities did it very late this morning.
Very late. It is one of the tougher ones. It's always a timing issue, and the forecasts were all over the place.
These are always the most controversial decisions you make as a superintendent.
If it starts, the sun comes out at 1 o'clock, I'll start getting in trouble.
Definitely. Superintendent Stone is joining us in studio this morning, along with Draket Police Chief Kevin Richardson, Draket Fire Chief Dave Brulette, and Draket Town Manager James Duggan. Good morning, guys. Welcome.
Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Outstanding.
We're doing okay. We're hanging in there.
You guys look like you're facing the firing line over there on that side. What did Manager Duggan tell you about this show?
Oh, no. Are you kidding me?
It's big kumbaya here. Big kumbaya.
The reason all these gentlemen are here this morning is because, what is it, about a month and a half from now?
Yeah.
The town of Draket is going to select its officials for the next term.
Two.
Selectmen.
Two of them. Just two.
Selectmen and school committee, correct?
Correct.
And they're also, perhaps, of more importance to folks on the ballot, or what will have them more fired up, is there are a couple of override questions on there. We've discussed them with you, Manager Duggan, in the past. What are the exact figures, again, that you are looking for in those two override questions?
Well, one question is for public safety. It's identified just for public safety personnel, for police officers and firemen. And that total dollar amount is $560,000. And I'll just turn it over to the superintendent. He can make reference to the schools.
And the school question involves $550,000 that would go to technology in all of the schools. That would also trigger a $200,000 reimbursement from the federal government, which would allow us to add some additional staffing in as well.
All right. And these are two distinct questions. Last time we checked in with the manager, we weren't sure whether they were going to put it combined 1.1 million on the ballot, but it is right. The decision was made, and it was kind of a split decision to go with two separate questions. Your thoughts on that, Manager Duggan?
It was. I mean, that's the Board of Selectmen's role, and they made the decision, and it really didn't matter to the four of us because we're looking at this as a collaboration, as a team approach that we've always done. We're very supportive of each other, and just because you vote, if you support one and not the other, you can vote for. Voting for one does not preclude you from voting for the other one. So we feel that, me personally, I'm going to go to the ballot. I'm going to vote yes for public safety and yes for the schools.
You want to see both?
I would love it. Yeah, the schools do need the investment.
From your position atop the perch, responsible for overseeing everything in the town of Draket, give us your pitch. Why should the residents out there listening this morning vote yes on both questions?
Well, let's backtrack a little bit. Let's understand that back in July, there was called the Joint Budget Task Force, which consisted of two members of the Board of Selectmen, two from the school committee, two from the finance committee. And we went in great detail through the entire budget and looking at long range over the next 5 years of projected revenues and expenditures and the demands of the city. Now, don't forget, I think we talked about before last time I was here, we've increased our population by 52% since Prop 2.5 was put in place back in the 1980s, early 1980s. Other communities around us, 7%, 8%, 11%, that's it. So we're looking at 52%. And what we have, we've got over 200 planned developments for houses to be built. We've got a 247-unit 40B project that is gone through all the permitting process. It's a matter of when they want to pull the permit. So we also have some other cluster 55 and older developments that are going to be popping up. So what we did is that was part of the review also. We did over the course of 6 months is looked at the operations, both the school and the town side, and the demands that it's going to create. So with that, we looked at consolidating services. We looked at a number of different issues. Stephen and I had many meetings individually, you know, with just with he and I, that just looked at consolidating services, because people talked about, you know, whether it be food service, whether it be the DPW and the maintenance area over there, in a number of different areas. We also looked at what we've been doing is we have done a solar project for net metering credits that will be able to save us about $75,000 to $80,000 a year. We have absolutely looked at reducing staffing levels whenever we can, but we're at a level, not necessarily reducing it maybe in some areas, but such as Tom Baumel, our previous Board of Health director. I don't think we're at a community just yet that needs a director. I think we need a health agent, which saved us a little money right there. So, and every day we look at refinancing our funds, what we have for bonds out there in order to save money out of the general fund. So it took a long time over the 6 months. Every single week we would meet and review, and we came up with a shortfall. But the consistent message that both chiefs have been explaining to me since day one has been the fact of the shortage of manpower, without a doubt. And the chiefs are here, and they can speak in greater detail for the impact that causes to our public.
I'm going to get into some specifics with all three of the chiefs here, the two chiefs and the school superintendent. But how does this work, Manager Duggan, in terms of this override? Is it just a one-time thing, or will you... It sounds like you have structural problems in the budget that you're going to need overrides again, if not in a year, in 2 years, or
no.
more.
I mean, the override increases our levy, so it's there for perpetuity. I mean,
the taxes won't roll back. This is not a one-year fix. The taxes won't go back to where they were before. If residents vote this in, that's where their tax. That's the base.
That will increase the tax levy for future years to be built upon going forward. Absolutely. And what we do is, it's going to be instituted in, like you said, it's going to be something that since we got personnel, especially, they were both of our goals, the schools and the town side, especially with public safety. I'm not going to implement this. And then in a year or two from now, turn around and say, oh, we can't do that anymore, so we're going to have to lay those same people off. You know, we're in this for the long haul. In terms of the future...
What's your long-term vision? How many years before you reach a crisis point again, if this passes?
Well, this is the most reasonable level of a recommendation. The recommendation that I put forward to the Board of Selectmen wasn't easy to come to. I mean, there's a lot of needs out there, but this is the bare minimum that we need. Going forward, we're going to continue to be fiscally conservative and look at checks and balances all the way through. But this is our, you know, I'm looking at police, fire, DPW, and schools. They're our core services. So we need to absolutely make the investments in those core services. The secondary services, we can absolutely continue to... go with shorter staffing.
722 here on 980 WCAP, chatting with Drake at Town Manager James Duggan, Police Chief Kevin Richardson, Fire Chief David Brillette, and School Superintendent Steve Stone. And we're discussing the overrides, $560,000 for public safety, $550,000 for the schools, and that would be used on technology. I want to delve into each of your departments, guys, and kind of see where we're at, what the money would be used for, and what happens if/when this doesn't pass. Police Chief Richardson, let me start with you. How dire is the situation in terms of manpower, staffing, equipment within your department?
Well, I don't want to alarm anybody in the community, but right now it's extremely... we're at dangerous levels as far as manpower. I get a shift summary from every one of my shift commanders on a daily basis, and it's alarming for me to look at them and review them and see the calls we can't get to.
Drake, it's a huge town geographically as well.
It's 21 square miles, yes, and 30,000 people, approximately 30,000 people.
How long have you been on the force?
I've been on the force for 34 years.
34 years. What was the staffing level when you started?
Back when I got there, back in 1981, there was probably 37, 38 police officers at that time.
How many today?
Right now there's 30. We just graduated one from the police academy. I believe that makes 38.
So you have 38 officers now. You had 37 back 34 years ago.
Back in 1981.
Do you know how much the population has increased since when you started versus today?
I would say, from my experience just watching the community grow over the last 34 years, I would say by one-third.
Okay.
It has grown by one-third.
Okay. Where would this money go for you? Manpower specifically?
Definitely manpower. When you look at the communities in the area that are similar to ours, Tewksbury, Chelmsford, Wilmington, Westford, and you look at the amount of people that they are putting on the street per shift, it's almost twice as much as that we have most of the time.
Can I jump in here?
Sure.
Teddy, I mean, you know, let's backtrack a little bit. It's gone up a little more than 33%, 52% since the chief started, as of Trump, 52%.
Yeah, what is the population today of Drake?
About 30,000 people.
30,000.
So, you know, back then it was like a little less than 20,000 people.
I was going to say, it was about 20,000 when I was going through the school system in the 80s, if I remember.
Exactly. Now, towns in Mass, the chief was explaining this to me, Chief Richards was explaining this to me, that Townsend has 8,500 people, three people on the street. Three. Chief, I mean, how many do we have on the street today?
We have most of the time, we have three.
Three cruisers on the street.
Three cruisers on the street covering 21 square miles and 30,000 people. The other concern I have is, as far as the safety of the public, is that, and also the safety of my officers, is that they, when they call for a backup, their closest backup could be on the other side of town.
Yeah.
And my officers going to that backup at a higher rate of speed than they probably should be going, it could create an accident. And hopefully, you know, I mean, God forbid, they get in an accident and they hit a family of five and it becomes disastrous.
Let me play devil's advocate, and I'm going to do that with all of you guys, just a heads up here. You say you have 37 officers, and
correct,
yet there are only three on per shift.
Correct.
You have three shifts per day, 3 8-hour shifts?
3 8-hour shifts.
All right, so correct, that means that nine officers are working per day on the streets. You have 37 on the force. Where are the rest of them?
Well, we have three in the Detective Bureau. As far as that goes, back when I went in the Detective Bureau, back in 1988, we had six detectives. Today we have three. The 37 officers, we have contractual agreements. Officers, up to a certain amount of officers per shift, according to the union contract, can take off any given shift. And if we have a full complement of police officers on any given shift, I'm talking a full complement, people that aren't out sick, people that aren't out on a vacation day, we will have four patrol officers, a sergeant on the street, and a lieutenant inside the station as the shift commander. That doesn't happen more than once a week, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because of, like I said, people have 28 vacation days, they have three personal days, if they get sick. So as far as the budget goes for us, I can't replace those people on 100%
right
when they're out. I can only replace a certain amount of them. And that's when we get down to the three. And that happens all the time.
It sounds like at full staffing, the max you're going to have is five, maybe six people on duty at any given time.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Again, as I'm looking at the math, 37 officers, let's divide it evenly into three shifts, 12 should be available per shift. Now you have, they each get, is it a 5 days on, 2 days off, three? How does it work?
It's a four and two.
Four and two.
They work a 4 days on, okay, 2 days off shifts.
Shouldn't there be more officers on the street?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what my main concern is. Yeah. This is what keeps me up at night. Not only worrying about my officers, but being so concerned that we can't respond to the residents the way we should be, the way that any police department or any fire department responds to the public. And to get there, when a person gets on the phone and their loved one is on the floor and having a heart attack, and they're calling the 911 to get either the police on the fire over there, they expect us to be there. And sometimes that's just not the case.
Are those union contracts hamstringing your ability, if is that a word, hamstringing? Are they hamstringing your ability to staff more properly?
A lot of the articles in the contract were negotiated many, many years ago. And they were probably, you know, they were probably good for the department and for the man, you know, the union themselves back in those days. But things have changed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's very difficult to go into negotiations and try to take things away from the, you know, the benefits that the officers have that they've been enjoying for many years.
I think this is going to be a common theme as we chat with the fire and school chiefs, but I want to bring Manager Duggan back in here. Let me be the voice of the taxpayer. You're okay. asking us to sacrifice again, and where's the sacrifice from the departments? Where is the change in the union? As Chief Richardson just said, these contracts were negotiated and there were provisions put in there many moons ago. But, you know, there's a new reality, and you're asking residents to give something up. When are the employees going to start to give something up?
Well, it's the problem. I mean, the problem isn't the employees. I mean, you know, we have to look at, you know, every single day we do a financial check of where we can continue to cut. You know, when we go into negotiations, it's done at a reasonable level. You know, do I agree with all the articles the chief had mentioned in the contract? I do not. Of course I do not. So we do the best we can to try and bargain those out. But it's not going to be done overnight, without a doubt. But what needs to be absolutely recognized at this point, we are at a point now, and I'll echo the chief's sentiments, you know, I don't want to, you know, press the panic button here, but, you know, we are in a situation. Can we just remind everyone what happened just recently with that person, that woman on the first shift, her first shift? They went to a domestic violent, you know, call. So you have multiple people going to a domestic call. So when you have that, the rest of the community is basically vulnerable. And, you know, speaking of vulnerability, when people are, this was not an easy decision or an easy recommendation to come to. It was extremely difficult. We were challenged constantly by the Board of Selectmen every single day of, you know, during those 6 months of weekly meetings of where can we cut, where can we consolidate, what are we doing in order to, because the absolute last ditch opportunity or situation is asking the taxpayer. We completely understand that.
7:32 here on 980 WCAP, chatting with Draycott Town Manager James Duggan, Police Chief Kevin Richardson, Fire Chief David Roulette, and School Superintendent Steve Stone about the override questions that will be on the ballot in Draycott. We're going to keep it right here. Special hour right up until 8 o'clock. It's 7:36, and we welcome back the top officials from the town of Draycott, Town Manager James Duggan, Police Chief Kevin Richardson, Fire Chief David Roulette, and Steve Stone, the School Superintendent. They are here to talk about the override questions. $560,000 for public safety, $550,000 to be used in the school department for technology upgrades, and they're here making their case. We kind of heard some numbers on staffing with the police department that are somewhat troubling. Fire Chief Roulette, I would imagine the situation isn't all that much better for you and your department.
No, it's not.
How many people do you have right now?
Including myself, we have 40 officers.
40 officers. So you actually have more than the police.
We operate differently than the police.
Is that standard with fire departments?
The way we operate?
The staffing numbers, are they similar to police, higher, lower?
They're similar, and there's times that the police and the fire go back and forth, and you were talking mm-hmm. about when I got hired in 85, and it was about 25, 26 firefighters then. So the town has increased. It's just the staffing level on a fire is the first alarm response is a little bit different when you're attacking either a fire or doing a medical. Mm-hmm. Our primary job is to provide the manpower for all these emergencies, where there is providing the safety and the security. Okay. So we can't be worrying about our security watching our backs. That's why we have our brothers in blue. So
is your deal the same as it is in Lowell and other communities, no matter what the emergency 911 call is, even if it's medical, does fire have to respond?
We go to every single medical. Okay. We go to every single call in town. We're currently over 3,500 runs a year.
Is that necessary?
Yes.
Why is that necessary?
Protection of life and property is the canned answer, but if it's your house or your loved one that's down, it's very necessary. Mm-hmm. So
would changing that help in terms of the crisis you're facing with staffing right now? Is that an option should these overrides fail, I guess, is the question.
The way we've been running is the way we've been running since the Collinsville station opened in 1980 with outlying stations having two men. National standards suggest four men per piece, but we run two men out of the outlying and currently running three men out of central. On some units, we're able to put that third man. We have one unit that we can do that. That third man makes such a difference. You wouldn't think that one man would make a difference, but in terms of firefighting, don't look at it as quarters. Look at it as thirds as far as being able to put manpower and strength to the fire. Currently, when my outlying stations roll up to a fire, they set the pump and they go in. As we've seen in Boston, having two men in a building and nobody knowing that where you are or in there and waiting for another company to come can become deadly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that to scare the residents of Draycott. We're going to do our job, and our guys always do, and they go above and beyond. I'm just looking for that additional support for the guys so they can do that job without worrying beyond the normal level of whether they're going home that night.
How many guys do you have on any given shift? We've heard from the police chief.
Currently,
I
have three units. I have four units. We have three units of nine and one of ten.
Okay, so you and
we're working on getting the numbers. So. And it's been going on since probably since 1980 that we'll put an additional man, and it always gets pushed aside with Drake. And we know the funding reasons why.
You and the police chief come under this public safety part of the override, $560,000. Do we know how much money goes to each department as part of this override?
Jim can speak better to that.
I think we're looking at, of the $560,000, I believe the price for the fire department, I'm just trying to get my memory recollection right now, approximately $280,000 for the fire department, and I believe it's approximately $280,000 for the police also. Mm-hmm. Approximately.
How does that break down? How did you get to those figures?
Well, what we did is we took the base salaries, we took what it would cost to put an individual on the street today. That would be with the academy, the base salary, any contractual obligations, outfitting the uniforms and everything like that. And we're looking at three people for the fire department at $280,000 compared to six. I mean, you have turnout gear. You've got two sets of turnout gear for the fire department, for the firefighter. So that, that adds up. So it's basically to put that individual on the street ready for action today, it costs approximately $280,000.
So Chief Brillette, all this money that the fire department would get from this override is going to go towards manpower, and none of it is going for equipment upgrades? Or is kind of the equipment, the uniforms, each individual thing that firefighters need, is that part of the cost per firefighter?
It gets, for the first year when you hire them, it gets tied into that. And after that, any additional will go to a replacement of the equipment. The the turnout gear is incredibly expensive now. It's about $5,000 per set. So,
In terms of the larger equipment, fire trucks, police cruisers, Chief Richardson, are you okay there? Do you, by hiring new people or putting more people on per shift, do you create a need for more vehicles and or other equipment? Or do your departments already have these, but you don't have the manpower to use them?
We have our vehicles maintained by the DPW, and they do an excellent job. So our vehicles are in excellent shape. We recently sold one to Methuen, and I think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But for us, it had its years. But we also have in town, which was set up by Chief DiRocco then and a town manager, a stabilization fund. So we have a goal and a plan to replace trucks on a yearly basis that are in need of it. So we maintain that stabilization fund. We let it build, and we don't go to the – contribute an extra burden to the taxpayers to replace our equipment. So,
same with you, Chief Richardson?
As far as on the police side, we generally get maybe three new vehicles a year. Those vehicles, once they're brand new, we put them on the street 24/7. After 3 years, we put them on a back line and use them for backup cruisers in case one breaks down, one has to go to the shop, sure, whatever. But as far as vehicles now go, right now we're pretty good. Our main problem is manpower.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Where are your current contracts with your employees? How many years remaining on them? Do you know offhand?
I believe we just negotiated with the police last summer. Yeah, we have 2 years left.
Do you have 2 years remaining, Fire?
Yes.
Same situation?
We're working on settling one, but about 2 years. They have 3-year contracts. So,
Manager Duggan, if these overrides pass, are there any assurances to the taxpayers that that there will be some sacrifice on the part of the employees in that some terms will be changed, and if not, that there won't be exorbitant raises that go into the new contracts?
No, we're always very, very reasonable and fiscally conservative within the contracts, without a doubt. I will absolutely, please say that the positions that we have within Dracut, whether it be the public safety through town hall or anything like that, in comparable communities are much lower, probably 20-30% lower. So it is something that we understand. We are a fiscally conservative community. And we try and do more with less, especially with the departments within town hall. As you can see, that there are some departments that have two, some departments that have only have one individual that should have two. So over the course of the years, when we've had to make sacrifices, we could only go to the biggest areas. So we went to police, fire, and DPW. That's why the investments in manpower just have never been there, because we've had to reinvest that money towards someplace else.
And I know it's the case here in Lowell. I would imagine it's the case in most towns, but I'd like you to confirm this. The biggest item in your budget is
health
schools.
Insurance.
Health insurance? Okay.
Health insurance is so volatile. It's a moving target. Last year when I first came here, well, it's been 2 years now, but for the first budget, I sat down with both chiefs and said, it's my intent to invest one individual per year into your department so we get it to a reasonable level. What was the GIC was explaining to communities, it's going to be no increases, going to be 0% increase, status quo, which was fantastic. I still budgeted 3% into the budget just in case, because I really didn't believe it. But then they came back at a 9.5%, 30 days later. So I had to go back to the chiefs and say, I'm sorry, you're not getting your investment. So it's a very volatile area. So we ended up increasing by $650,000 for our health insurance.
In terms of manpower, though, number of employees, schools is the number one employer in the city, or is that?
I believe so. You're about 350, almost 450.
Yeah. All right. And that, with that, we welcome in School Superintendent Steve Stone. Pull that mic nice and tight to you, please, Superintendent Stone. Technology. The school override, the $550,000, is going to be specifically earmarked for technology, not manpower. Is that correct?
It'll be earmarked for technology, but the way it would be set up is it would trigger an ability to hire staffing as well. So the question will be about technology. But again, the federal government is reimbursing school systems for the installation of wireless technology and fiber optic technology, a requirement that we need to have in place before 2019. If we're using the override dollars to provide technology, would trigger this federal reimbursement of over $200,000. We would then use that $200,000 to hire staff.
Why staff and not put all of it into technology? Would the $550,000 plus whatever the federal grant is, would that cover the technological needs sufficiently?
Well, the plan would be in year one, the $550,000 in the first year would be for wireless installation of all the schools, except for Dracut High, which had just gone through a renovation and is fully wireless. Then in year two, we would install fiber optic cabling throughout the system. And then in year three, we would introduce a voice over internet communication system. So for the first three years of the override, of those new dollars from the override, we would be investing in technology and in ever increasing amounts, take the new margin and hire staff with that.
Is the staff that you're talking about hiring specifically targeted towards technological fields,
no,
computer sciences, or you could theoretically hire an English teacher or a gym teacher?
All of the staff hired would go directly towards instructing and supporting students. That would be the focus.
Okay. What's the situation like now? How does Dracut compare to similar towns in terms of size, in terms of your students per classroom, and the technology level available to the students?
Draket is 319th out of 324 districts in the entire state in terms of per pupil funding. That means there are only five districts that are funded at a lower dollar value per child than Draket is. As a comparison, we're at just about $11,000 per child as our funding mechanism. Billerica is almost $14,000, Tewksbury is $13,000, and Tingsborough, I think, is $12,000. So you do that math for each student in the school system, we're significantly behind our neighbors. In terms of technology, the school system, Draket High School, is fully 21st century enabled, full wireless. The students are using those devices on a regular basis. We have somewhere around 900 devices lit up at any one time at Draket High School during the day. The other schools do not have wireless at all. We may have one or two spots for very specific needs. Mm-hmm. So that's limiting our ability to introduce 21st century instruction and technology to our students, which puts them at a competitive disadvantage to their neighboring colleagues, peers.
How much of your budget, your annual budget, comes from the town side, and how much comes in state aid?
I think the appropriation, I think the town is 54% of our appropriation is from the town, and the remainder is through state funding. I believe that's the number.
Is there any hope, and Manager Duggan, I bring you back into this, is there any hope that the state aid increases, at least in terms of school?
Absolutely. There's always that hope. There's always that optimism. You know, the legislature is working hard, and with the governor, and without a doubt, do we absolutely, you know, bank on it? Absolutely, positively not. We can't.
Is that your only recourse on the school side should the override fail?
Is that my only recourse?
In terms of being able to come up with money to cover what you want.
Well, I mean, it's...
Would you have to shift? Most folks point to the three gentlemen we have here, police, fire, and schools,
yep,
as the most important departments, the priorities for them in terms of a town service. Are you able to shift from other places? How much flexibility do you have?
I've got little to no flexibility. Don't forget we also have DPWs, which was one of our other real core services. And if I'm not digressing here, but the police... And the police, the fire, and the schools, they're economic engines, believe it or not. So if we're able to absolutely have, the team is trying very, very hard to bring businesses in. We're going to be breaking ground on the new assisted living, by the way, middle of May, which is the team has worked very hard on that with the support of the Board of Selectmen. But when people are moving here to the community, when they go on the website, first thing they look at is how's the school system. Second thing they look at, what do we got for crime? What is the public safety like? So these are core services which we have. I don't want to say we haven't neglected them over the years, but we haven't made the investments over the years as the community has grown.
Are these figures that we've discussed, the staffing levels, the amount spent per pupil, et cetera, are they hampering your ability to attract businesses? It doesn't seem like it's hampering Draket's ability to attract residents because the town population has skyrocketed.
Well, it's the lowest tax rate around. I mean, you know, we're looking at $14.86. It's the lowest one around. I mean, you've got, which is fantastic. It still has that. We're still being very sensitive to our heritage, which is agricultural. And, you know, we can't stop. People developing that developing property that's been handed down from generations that may have been a farm before, but now the offspring have basically said, gee whiz, I've got a job on Route 128, and I want to sell the 75 or the 150 acres and to a developer for house lots. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult on many levels.
Superintendent Stone, let me bring you back in here. You have very publicly been in the eye of this discussion because of the new contract that you signed that mm-hmm. gave you a 7% increase. I want to give you a chance to address that and what effect you think this might have on this upcoming vote in May.
I can't speak for the voters or for anyone else about that. I would say the school department, like the police and fire, the salaries in the school department are anywhere from 6 to 25% below the regional average. I think the issue is trying to make sure that the school committee retains the best possible people in all areas of the school system, whether it's food service workers or any of the 7 collective bargaining units, as well as the principals and administrators in the district.
Symbolically, could it have come at a worse time in terms of the message going out to the residents?
I don't know that I can answer that question, frankly.
Okay. I'm going to ask all three of you, because we had discussed this a little bit last week. I've heard from a couple of different folks out there. And first of all, would it help if symbolically each of you, and I'm going to include Town Manager Duggan in that, made some kind of a symbolic gesture with your salaries? You know, kind of going on this theme of sacrifice. We're all going to sacrifice. Is that something you've thought about, discussed?
I don't know. We've never discussed it. I've never had any discussions with the manager about anything like that.
Yeah. Sacrifice. I mean, nice one, Teddy. Sacrifice. Be more, a little more specific. Well, I mean,
well, I guess you're asking asking residents to shell out more money above what is allowed by the Proposition 2.5.
But Teddy, don't forget. I mean, you know, some of us here at this table are residents also, so it's going to affect us also. I mean, you know, without a doubt. And as Stephen alluded to, you know, there is a vast discrepancy of the classification of the salary classification in positions from the top all the way down to the bottom. So over the years, and we understand we're not going to be able to do leaps and bounds to get to that level, but it has to be done in baby steps. You have to recognize on retaining good individuals and being able to offer a competitive salary to attract smart people, because it's a domino effect. You bring on smart, professional, experienced individuals, and it's going to have a lasting effect on your community on many different levels, without a doubt. So I think, you know, I concur with what Stephen has said earlier.
What happens if these questions fail? What's the next step? What does that mean for your departments?
Well, we're going to continue to go at a snail's pace of trying to, make the investments, at least from the town side and the public safety side. And they're going to have some very, very difficult decisions, you know, moving forward in regards to a number of people on the street at any one time. I mean, could it go, go below the 3? It could possibly go below the 3. Do I look at area? The only other area I really have to look at is DPW. Let's take the storm for today, for example. Do I change the snow removal plan for next year? Do I make it so that, you know, we'll look at, we all love to just drive on the pavement, without a doubt, during the snowstorms, and I get that. But maybe I look at a snow plan that looks at looking at the main thoroughfares and the secondaries. But anything off of that, you know, really won't have the attention and won't be down to the pavement. You know, we'll be able to save money from there, without a doubt. But there will be some very, very difficult decisions as we move forward. Every single day.
Are we talking potential cuts in your departments, gentlemen? And by cuts, I mean actually cutting back on the number of employees
and/or
salaries?
No, I'm not going to. I am not going to reduce the staffing levels of public safety at all. I've given my word to both chiefs that there will not be a reduction in force because of attrition. We will absolutely replace those individuals at the current staffing levels. It's our goal to bring us up to a level that's reasonable. We are below a level of reasonableness on public safety, and it's nothing.
How can you make that promise? Because your costs aren't going down. You have, as we've discussed, contractual obligations. You have to meet payroll. You have to meet salaries, benefits. We know that health insurance isn't going to get cheaper for you 3 years from now than it is today. How can you make those assurances without the increased?
Well, we're also, when we sit down and do the contract negotiations, we understand there's no golden pot at the end of a rainbow. So we understand that, you know, we are moving forward at a Prop 2.5 level, and understanding that the history, you take into consideration your history of your increase of your health insurance and any other demands that are coming on. So those issues, when the team meets to make those contractual negotiations, we know what's 5 years ahead or 3 years ahead or what the history is behind us. And so I will not will not guarantee, and my administration will not reduce those staffing levels of public safety.
So if this doesn't pass, you're going to have to make some of those very difficult choices. And I want to highlight, we've seen towns in America, cities, Detroit, that have literally declared bankruptcy. And as I look at it, I see, you know, for years there have been warning signs there, but for whatever reason, the revenue hasn't increased, the costs haven't gone down. So nobody wants to make those difficult political choices, so they eventually declare bankruptcy, and a bankruptcy judge makes those decisions. So suddenly your pensions get cut, your figures get cut.
Talking extreme here, Teddy.
I'll take
a General Motors and a Ford in this community.
It would certainly help
day.
Your situation.
It would.
But are we looking at that as a potential
at some point? No, absolutely positively not. We, Standard & Poor's, we have an outside auditor that comes in and says we are very, very strong financially. We're stable. We are stable financially, without a doubt. Do we have a lot of money in the bank? Are we at the level that we should be for our stabilization account? We're not even close to it. We need to be about $3.5 million higher within our stabilization account. But we are not in an area of panic whatsoever. It's just a matter of we are very conservative. My predecessor did a fantastic job of maintaining that conservative approach, throughout his 25 years, and we maintain that.
So if I'm a resident, I just heard you say, "Well, we'll be okay."
Well, we'll be okay.
We'll be okay.
I'm not saying we're not going to be okay. But what we will have, there may be delayed responses on public safety because we don't have enough people on the street. There may be the roads may not be plowed as well. There may be potential looking at we look at at anything and everything in terms of hours of operation with different departments. This was not an easy place to get to. It is not an easy ask whatsoever. It is the absolute core service. It's the minimum. I think it's very, very reasonable that I have presented to the Board of Selectmen. They have accepted it. They are supportive of it. And, I think hopefully we'll never need police and fire, but you're in the most vulnerable positions when you pick up that phone and you dial 911. And you know what? I want to be able to make sure that we provide the service. We have the service, the public safety, that can support a community of 30,000 and plus, along with the school system.
Is there a potential silver bullet in your gun, a large commercial enterprise? I know that has been a focus since day one for you, increasing the commercial.
And obviously, the assisted living coming in, that's going to increase our commercial industrial tax base. It's going to create jobs for the community. There are a few things, but as you know, it's peaks and valleys. It looks great, then all of a sudden it falls apart, or something comes out of nowhere. There are some other areas that we're working hard on, very, very hard on, but nothing that I feel comfortable announcing.
We're about out of time, gentlemen. I want to give you each one last chance, a final pitch to the residents of Dracut. State your case, Police Chief Richardson.
Okay, thank you, and I want to thank you for having us here this morning. What I'd like the community to know is we don't want them to panic. We don't want them to think that we're not going to do our jobs. We always do our jobs. The thing is that bothers me the most is when I look at my shift commander's reports and I see calls that we couldn't get to. We couldn't respond to that call because they were tied up somewhere else in town. Like I said, and I don't mean to scare anybody, that could be a loved one having a medical problem. It could be a bank robbery. It could be anything, and we need this override to put more police officers on the street and to keep the community safe. Thank you,
Fire Chief Burlett.
I just want to say I echo what Chief Richardson said, but also got to remember we're all lifelong residents of Dracut. Everyone on my fire department lives in Dracut. I live in Dracut. I was born in Lowell and moved to Dracut 3 days later and been there since. I also remember the layoffs from the 90s. I was one of the firefighters laid off. So to come to the public and ask for their support is not something I take lightly. I know what's involved, and I know the sacrifice they give. But the members of the Dracut Fire Department, they sacrifice every day. They give their time and their money extra. They a lot of things you don't see. And I just want to say, as a member of the community and also married to a teacher, this isn't just support public safety over school. This is a one vote for me. I know there's two questions, but it's one vote. We need to support our community, make a community. We always talk about being the communities like Chester and Rickers and Tewksbury's. This is an opportunity. Let's be that community. Let's move forward. Let's bring this community into the 21st century and beyond.
Well, you mentioned one community, and you see this as one vote. You gentlemen, actually, we talked during one of the breaks. People, employees from each of your departments kind of go and help out the other department doing whatever they can in terms of repairs or maintenance or whatever, correct?
That's true, yes.
Yes.
We work very close with the fire department constantly on a daily basis. They help us out. We help them out. That's the way. The whole team in Drake, it works. Everybody watches out for the next person.
I'll call Steve, and he'll send over maintenance. He'll call me. I'll send over an inspection team.
So school department maintenance is going and working in fire stations if need be, and vice versa. Superintendent Stone, your plea to the voters.
I would, just before I get to my plea, echo what my colleagues have said and just double down on that a little bit. I think we've had a great working partnership with public safety, work very closely with the chiefs and their deputies, and really appreciate the support they provide. In terms of the schools, for me, my job is to advocate and support the education of the children of a community. And for me, that there's nothing more important for a community than to perpetuate its future. This is an opportunity for Drake to provide to its children something that would bring them up on par with their peers in other communities and provide them a competitive advantage.
Manager Duggan, if I could bring you in for one last question. Let's assume one of these overrides passes and the other doesn't. Are you bound to give that money to the departments, either public safety or school, depending on which one passes? Or can you then, do you have flexibility? The figures are about the same, $550,000, $560,000. Right. Are you able to redistribute that money if only one passes to aid all three departments?
No, I'm not going to deviate from the intent of the question. I mean, if the school department's technology was to pass or anything, we're going to maintain that commitment. I mean, that's only the right thing to do as far as I'm concerned. And I'm sure Stephen would feel the same if the public safety was the only one to pass. You know, I am going to absolutely invest that money strictly into public safety and maintain that.
All right. Drake Town Manager James Duggan, Police Chief Kevin Richardson, Fire Chief David Burlett, and Superintendent of Schools Steve Stone. Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to join us this morning. Good luck when this hits the ballot.
Can I come back?
You can come back anytime. You're okay. Leslie's childhood, you know, kickball mate. You guys used to play dodgeball
like
together.
Eight houses, like we used to walk to school to Riley School together.
Little Jimmy Duggan.
You had to say
thank you, guys. It's
all right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.